Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf, or tomorrow's daf, or whatever we call it, is Yevamos daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We are holding already on daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We are four lines into the page at Ahu Gita De Ishtakach. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Gross family, Lizecha Nishmas, Chana Leia Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Ramnachum, Chaya Leia Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayo, Olden Sham Shem Nalia. It's also sponsored by Mindy and Henry Olinsky, Lizech Nishmas, Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, Olav Shalom, Mindy's fathers, and Shem Shem and Leah, also sponsored as Chisru for Shlema, for Uriel Ben Chaya Esther, a baby who's in the NICU, Shavar for Shlema, the Soch Shar Chale Yisrael, and it's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz in memory of his grandmother, Yecha Fagel Bas Rav Moshe, Olav Shalom, whose Yartzeit is today, the first day of Tammuz, Neshama Shem and Aliyah. And again, we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first the Gemara is going to talk about how Abaye and Rava, even though they had a disagreement as to whether we're choshesh for two people having the same name, in one case they reversed their opinions about being choshesh for two people having the same name. Then the Gemara is going to define, we had said in the Mishnah that if there was kitata beinam, that if there was some sort of quarrel, argument between husband and wife, then we no longer give the wife ne'amanos that the husband is in fact dead. So the Gemara is going to define what is kitata. How would we define kitata? Every time a couple argues, that's automatically going to be considered kitata. And also, we're going to explain why it takes away her ne'amanos just because there happened to have been kitata. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to have a machlokas whether we believe the woman when the husband was somewhere far away. But ultimately, everyone is going to agree that we do believe her. Meaning, one might have thought that you're only going to believe the woman if the husband is close by, because then you could catch her in a lie, because there are people that will know if he's in fact dead or not. But if he's really at the other end of the world, before the time of the types of communication that we have access to nowadays, it could be no one will ever hear anything from what's going on at the other end of the world, and therefore maybe she doesn't have nemonis about that. Then the Gemara is going to try to connect two machlokas, whether takanos are limited to the exact circumstance of that motivated the takana, or the takanos that any circumstance that's similar to the event that motivated the takana would also be included in the takana. So Gemara is going to talk about two different machlokas about that and try to see if those machlokas are in fact connected. So let's begin four lines from the top of the page on daf kuf tes ayin amud aleph. So says Gemara, hu gita dishtakach Surah. There was a get that was found in Surah, Uksib Behachi, and the get said the following in it. It said, Besurah Masa, in the town of Surah, Anon Bar Chia Nahardaa. I, Anon Bar Chia from Nahardaa, Patris Vitrachis Plonis Insi, I had relieved and divorced my wife, and we knew of a person named Anan Bar Chia, and the Chum weren't sure, can we give that get to his wife? Maybe there's someone else by the name of Anan Bar Chia, and therefore this get is not kosher to use for the wife of the Anan Bar Chia that we know. But the Rabbanan did some research, and they looked all the way from Surah to Narda. They could not find someone else that was called Anan Bar Chia, someone else with that name. Levar me Anan Bar Chia, except for one guy whose name was Anan Bar Chia, who came from Chagra, who happened to have been in Naharda that day. So Vasa Sadi Va'omer Dehu Yoma Kiyichtav Hu Gita Anan Bar Chia Mechagra Gabonava. And witnesses came and they testified that on that day that the get was written, the Anan Bar Chia from Chagra was in Naharda. So since the get was written in Surah, right, because the get started by saying Besura Masa, that in the town of Surah I'm divorcing my wife, So we know that the only other Anan Bar Chia was in Naharda that day. That seems to be a pretty good indication that the get was written for the original Anan Bar Chia that we knew of always, and not from this newly discovered Anan Bar Chia who lived elsewhere. So Amar Abaye Afli Didi Damina Chashinan Hachalo Chashinan. So Abaye says, even I, who Lishi Tasi in yesterday's daf said that we're choshish for two people having the same name, even though we were not even huchsa in knowing that there are two people with the same name, and therefore you don't give a get to someone's wife when just because he has this name, but hacha lo, Shinan. Over here, I'm going to be Moda, that we don't have to be Choshesh for another guy named Anan, because they did the research, they checked, and they didn't find anyone else except for this one guy. And the only thing we know about this one guy is the Kamisad ibn Arda Hava. That witnesses told us that he was in Arda. So my Basura, how could it be that he would be in Surah on that day? Meaning now that we've actually, Abai says, when we haven't investigated anything, so then I think we have to be Choshesh that there might be another person that we're not aware of that has that same name. But when we've actually investigated and we found everybody by that name, then I don't think that you have to be Choshesh that it's this guy, because this guy we know was in a different city. So how on earth would he have gotten from Narda to Surah in such a short amount of time? It wouldn't have happened. So says the Gemara, Rava disagrees. Amar Rava, af l'didi, to lo chashinan. Even I, who when we haven't investigated, I don't think you have to assume and suspect that there is somebody else by that name, but hacha chashinan, over here I am choshesh, now that we have investigated, and we do know that there is another Anan Barchia, I think that we do have to be choshesh, that maybe this get belongs to the other Anan Barchia. Why? Why? So three possibilities. Dilma begamla parcha azul, it could be that he had access to a Corvette or whatever. He had access to a gamla parcha, to a car, to a camel that could drive super fast, and he was able to get from Narda to Surah in unnatural amounts of time. What do they used to call that airplane that went faster than everything? The Concorde. Concorde. So he had access to the Concorde. You know, Inami, growing up near JFK, we always knew when the Concorde was coming. It was a big brothel when they stopped flying. Inami b'kvitza, or that maybe he just had kvitza sederach. Maybe he had some sort of miracle that he said the Shem Hashem and he had kvitza sederach. Inami mili masar, or the third possibility is that maybe, sorry for that noise over here, Inami mili masar could be that he gave sent a shliach, kedamlu Rav l'safri, like Rav said to the sofrim that would write gittin, v'cheinamlu Rav Huna l'safri, and Rav Huna would say to the sofrim the right gittin, ki esnachu b'shili, when you are in a place called Shili, ksuvu b'shili, then you should write that the get is written in Shili, aval gav demimsran mili b'hini, even though in fact you're giving it to the Baal in Hini, v'chi esnachu b'hini, kisvu b'hini, aval gav demimsran mili b'shili, and when you're in a place called Hini, write that the get is in Hini, even though the Minoy HaShliach was in Shili. So you see that even though the other Anan was in Nahardah on the day that the get was written, that's not a raya that the get was not written in Surah like he had said. So therefore we have to be Choshesh that this get does not belong to the wife of the Anan that we knew about the entire time. So that is Rava's comment. Now Tosos writes that in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the Chiddush of the two places that we're identifying, of Hini and Shili, is that even though they're very close one to the other, you still have to write the name of the makom where you're writing the get, no matter how close the two places are to each other. So says Rava, since there are three different explanations as to why it is that even though he was in Nahardaa, the get could have said Surah in it, so we have to be choshesh that this get belonged to that guy and not to the Anan Barchia that we were familiar with. Now, but one of the possibilities of how it could have been is that there was a Gamla Parcha. So it sounds from this Gemara that Rava is choshesh for Gamla Parcha. He is choshesh for the Concorde, or for the particularly fast way to travel. So the Rishonim all point out that in the beginning of Maseches Makos and Daf Hei, the Gemara talks about two people who are amazed that someone was in Surah in the morning, and they saw that Kach v'Kach HaYamaisa, and two other people came to be mazin them, and they said, we saw you guys that evening in Nahardaa. So Rava says, well, let's analyze. Is it reasonable to assume that they could travel from Surah to Nahardaa in the discrepancy of time from when they claimed to have been in Surah and when they were seen in Nahardaa? And if it's not possible, then they are in fact Edom Zomim. So the Gemara over there says Rava is not Choshesh for Gamla Parcha, right? If you're Choshesh for Gamla Parcha, then they wouldn't be Edom Zomim. You would say, who knows, maybe they were able to travel super fast because they had a Gamla Parcha. So it turns out that it's a stira in Rava, that over here Rava is Choshesh for Gamla Parcha, over there in the beginning of Maseches Makos, Rava is not Choshesh for Gamla Parcha. So it says Tosus gives two terutz and the Ramban gives a third terutz. Tosus writes that over here there's a particular reason to be Choshesh even for far-fetched things, because there's a chashash that that the guy that was in Arda'a wanted to mess up his friend's wife, and that's why we say that since he was looking to mess things up, so he did this through, he took extreme measures in order to be able to ruin somebody else's life. And additionally, Tosa says that really we are choshish all the time that a person used extreme measures of travel, but by Edom Zomnin we're not choshish because they themselves didn't make this taina. Meaning, what happened? These guys came to court and they said, we were in Surah, we saw this event happen in Surah in the morning. Then two other Edom came and said, oh yeah, well we saw you in Aharda in the evening. So what does Beis Din do? Probably right away they turn to the first Edom and they say, no, what do you have to say for yourselves? And what they should have said at that point is, oh, we took the Concord. But they didn't. They just stayed silent, as if, you know, checkmate, as if they didn't have an answer for themselves. So says Tosfos, that's a big reyusa, meaning, yeah, we'll be choshish for a gamla parcha, but not when someone is being accused and they themselves didn't defend themselves with a gamla parcha. So that's why in Maseches Makos, we're not choshish for a gamla parcha, but over here, we're going to be choshish, because it's not about anyone being accused, it's just about figuring out whose get this actually was. The Ramban says that he disagrees with that Tosfos, because he says there's a concept called the Hitzilua Eda, that even if people don't think of their own defense, of the best way to defend themselves, we have to go out of our way to defend them. So the Ramban instead says, in the name of the Ravid, that the possibility of a Gamla Parcha is a very, very distant possibility, and we're not really Choshish for it. Rava says over here that we're Choshish for it. Nah, Rava's just giving all the possibilities of how one can travel such a great distance. You know why Rava thinks it might be the same guy? Because of the third reason. Because there could be shlichus. That's the only one that really makes it. Why, you think Rava's really, we always have to be choshish, someone uses the Shem Hashem and teleports himself somewhere? That was Rava's second possibility. That's not something that we're ever choshish for. Ramban says it's really all about the third reason. A lot of times you have like that in poskim, right? Sometimes a posek will say, this is mutter for five reasons. And they'll give five different reasons, but you know that one of them is the real reason, and that the other four are what they call extra snifim lahakel. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman told me once that when he once wanted to get shimush in paskening shailos by the Minchas Yitzchak, so he asked the Minchas Yitzchak if he would mind, it was on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, if he could just sit with him the whole morning and watch him pasken shailos. And he said most of it, he didn't get anything out of it. Most of it was just like regular shailos that every rabbi gets. It wasn't anything too exciting. But he said one thing he asked the Minchas Yitzchak is when you can use something as a sniff lahakel. And when Chas Yitzchak said to him, Diane Weiss said to him, something can be used as a sniff lahakel only if you have a core reason, that's your primary reason, that's actually a good argument to be making. Then you could use other arguments as, like, you know, an extra idea, an extra benefit. But if you don't have that one core basis for Kula, you can't just put a whole bunch of Meshagasim together, or a whole bunch of outvoted Shitos together, and come up with a Sniff Lachel. So we are also, there's the one core reason, says the Ramban, and that's the last reason. So we throw in other possibilities also as to how one can travel from one place to the other, but those aren't the real reasons. So now, the Gemara goes back to the Machlokas we had in yesterday's Daf, between Rav Chisda and Rava, about the guy that kept sesame seeds, that gave sesame seeds as a pikadon, and he claimed that he wants his sesame seeds back, and the fellow who was watching the pikadon said, what do you mean? You already took your sesame seeds back. What do you see in my possession right now are different sesame seeds. So my havalai the shumshmi, what was the psak halach in that case of the shumshmi? Are we choshish that he removed the sesame seeds from the barrel and he returned them to the original owner, and now the sesame seeds that he has are different sesame seeds? So Rav Yema lo cheshiner, we're not choshish that these are different. You have to give them back to the mafkid, these are the same ones. Ravina amar cheshinan, that we are choshish that these are different, and therefore you do not have to give them back. Vehuchsa cheshinan, and we paskin that we are choshish that he removed them, and the mafkid does not have to take them out, and the mafkid is not able to take them back from the nifkad, and we don't say kan nimtza kan haya. Then we had said in the Mishnah, ketata beino levena'a, so the Mishnah had said that if the couple has not been getting along, then the woman loses her ne'emanus. So it says, hechi dami ketata beino levena'a, what is an example of a case of ketata beino levena'a? What does it mean that they haven't been getting along? So Rav Dumer Shmuel, ba'omeris lebaila garsheni. It's if a woman ever told her husband, they argued to such a point where she asked her husband for a divorce. So such a level of ketata, we have to be choshish that when she claims her husband died, that she might not be telling the truth, because you see that she wants out of the marriage. They got into such a fight that she even asked her husband for a divorce. So the Gemara says, somewhat curiously, at least to my sensibilities. Kulunami amruhachi. What wife doesn't ask her husband for a divorce? I know, Baruch Hashem, bli ayin hara, I can happily report my wife, I don't know, do most wives, maybe I'm a yachid over here, but the Gemara says every wife asks a husband for a divorce at some point. So, Ella, but maybe if I'm snoring as a joke, I don't know, I don't think so. Ella, so what must it be? Ella, but Omeris Labaila Girishtani, it must be that she said, not I want a divorce, but that you already have divorced me. If it's written, if it's gone to that level, that she so badly wants to leave him that she's claiming to already be divorced, then she's going to be willing to lie about his death as well. So ask the Gemara, why when she says Girashtani would she not be believed? Well then wait a second, you don't even have to believe her that he's dead, because if she just says Girashtani, she's Nemenes. If a woman claims to be divorced, then we assume she is divorced. Because there is a chazaka that a woman would not have the chutzpah to claim that her husband had divorced her if he in fact had not divorced her. Now Tosus points out that she wouldn't be believed to collect her ksuba, but she'd be believed to not be married to him anymore. So the Tosus writes that it's because Eino Demeis Pan of Bifnei Misha Makir B'Shikro. Why is it that we have such a chazaka that she would not be made as part of? It means that if someone knows that you're lying, so you would never have the chutzpah to lie to someone who knows that you're lying. Other Rishonim, the Rush, in the last paragraph of Masechet Nedarim, writes that a woman would not be mafkia herself b'sheker from her husband, because that would mean she's living the rest of her life as an Eishes Ish, living with another man, meaning the whole rest of her life would be living in sin if she were lying about something like that. So that's the chazaka of Enishmi Izapaneb Fnei Baila. But bottom line is, if a woman says Gerashtani, that in fact we already are divorced, she's Ne'emenes. So since she's Ne'emenes, she's allowed to get remarried based on that alone. You don't need to believe her that her husband is dead. Even if the husband is alive and well, she should be believed. So it says Marna Vamar Gerashtani Bifnei Ploni Ploni Vishilna Vamru Lahadan Lo Yidvar. Now the case is that she said Girashtani and she identified the Edim to the get, and then we saw the Edim and we asked the Edim how that went when there were Edim on the get, and they said never happened. So even though normally a woman is believed to say Girashtani, but over here we know she's lying when she says Girashtani. So since we know that she's lying when she says Girashtani, we're not going to believe her when she says that her husband is dead either. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this lahalacha that an isha is not, that this idea that if a woman says Girashtani and we haven't caught her in a lie, we haven't interviewed the Eidim, so she is going to be believed. But the Rama over there writes that Bizmanazeh Nefishi Chutzpa Upritzusa, so she's Eina Ne'emenes. The Rama writes that this chazaka, that Ein Isha Mizapaneh B'fnei Baila, that a woman wouldn't claim to be divorced if she's not actually divorced, is no longer true. Bizmanazeh. There's plenty of chutzpah nowadays. People will lie to other people's faces, even if they know that the other person knows that they're lying. People will live their whole life as nacious ish and live their whole life in sin because there's such pritzos in the world today. So therefore, says the Rama, she's only ne'emenes l'chumra, but not l'kula. So the makar of that din of the Rama is the Beis Yosef quotes from an Orchos Chaim. So the Bach writes that even nowadays, if she gets remarried based on that, lo teitze, meaning even though we don't really believe her, but if she then goes and gets remarried after saying Gerashtani, so at least the chazaka that the Gemara had, Vein Isha Mizu Penev Vnei Baila, will allow her to remain married. That's how the Bach writes in Shulchan Aruch. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that we paskin like that Bach, the Havu Lo Lo Sefala, that it's a big enough chiddush in the Ramah to take a chazaka that the Gemara had about human psychology and to upend it and say that chazaka has changed. Yeah, as a matter of the chachila, we'll say that chazaka has changed. But b'diavad, if she already got remarried, we're not going to rely that chazaka has in fact changed. And the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a Beis Meir that even b'zman hazeh, if there's an amasla that shows that she's said that what she said is true, then she is believed. That Beis Din is able to assess that she seems to be very honest. So it's not like an automatic that everybody has chutzpah and everybody is a prutza and everybody would lie about these things. So that's what Pesach Chuvah quotes from the Beis Meir, that the Beis Din has to use their head. They have to really figure out whether the woman seems to be genuine or not. So it's an amazing ukimta the Gemara just made. The Gemara says, what's the case of Ketata? The case of Ketata, where we say she loses her ne'emanus, is where she claims to already be divorced, and we caught her in that lie. We spoke to the Eidim, and they said that she wasn't divorced. So then, the Gemara, my time with the Ketata. Why is it that just because there was Ketata between them, that the woman is not believed about the death of her husband? Now, considering the way we just explained what Ketata means, this question doesn't seem like a very strong question at all. We just said that Ketata means that we know she's a liar. She claimed that her husband divorced her. She identified Adam. We spoke to the Adam, and they said Lahadam. They said it never happened. So you're going to ask, why is it that she's not believed that her husband is dead? Because she's a liar. That's why she's not believed. So it's interesting. On this my time of the Ketata, so Rashi writes, Ditnan b'masnisin, kiyomer meis b'ayli lo mehemna. Why? What's the reason for this Ketata that it says in the Mishnah that if she claims meis b'ayli, she's not going to be believed? What are the words Ditnan b'masnisin doing in Rashi? If the Gemara is asking, why is she not believed? We know where to find that halacha. We just learned the Mishnah. We know about that. Why does Rashi have to add the words Ditnan b'masnisin? Very uncharacteristic of Rashi. It should have been, Rashi should have said, my time of the Ketata, that kiyamra meis b'ayli, lo mehemna. What's Ditnan b'masnisin? So one of the Akronim points out, in the Sefer Seder Elio Rabba, he points out that probably Rashi's saying is that this Maitaima is not a kasha on the way the Gemara just explained the Mishnah. It's a kasha on the original reading of the Mishnah. Because on the way the Gemara just explained the Mishnah, there's no such kasha. The way the Gemara just explained the Mishnah, we just made an akimta that we caught her. We know she's a liar. So you wouldn't ask such a question. It's only a question on the original reading of the Mishnah. So anyway, let's assume the question is like that on the original reading of the Mishnah, that whenever there's a ketata, she loses her ne'emanus. So why? Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shum de Meshakra. Because she'll lie. Rav Sim Barashi, Amr Mishum Ta Amr B'dami. She's not going to lie, but she'll misassess the situation. She'll see something that will make her believe her husband is dead, and she'll finish off the picture in her head. She'll see her husband struggling and gasping for breath, and she'll therefore report that he's dead. So my binai will be the nafkamina between them. Ikavinai da'argil hu katata. A nafkamina would be if the ketata comes from him, that she on her own right didn't hate him, she didn't want out of the marriage, but since he's always picking a fight with her, so she therefore claimed girashtani. So if you say, so there are two ways you can go with this. It's not abundantly clear from the Gemara which way this nafkamina goes. So some of the Rishonim understand, Tosfos understands that the nafkamina goes like this, that according to the Shita, that the reason of ketata is that she's going to lie, so since she on her own is not interested in fighting with him, she would not lie in order to assert herself on him, she would be ne'emedes. But according to the Mandyama, that ketata means that she's chashu to misassess the situation and not be so careful in how she describes what she actually saw. So over here also we should be choshesh b'didami. We should be choshesh for the same thing. So again, that is how some of the Rishonim Tosos explains this. However, the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Re'eim, then explains the Nafkamina in the exact opposite way. He explains it the exact other way. Now, because it's not abundantly clear, it's not like an obvious Nafkamina. Rishonim ask, there is a more obvious Nafkamina. What if she comes back and she says, I buried him. He's underground. I buried him. So that's not the didami, right? Meaning that's not something that she could have seen and misassessed. So that would be a good nafkamina. That if we think that she's going to lie straight out, so when she says she buried him, she's lying as well. But if we think that she's going to just misassess the situation, then lechora, if she says I buried him, there's nothing to misassess. So the Ritva says, yeah, in a chanami, the Gemara could have given that nafkamina also. But the Gemara just, chad mitrei naka. The Gemara gives one of two possible nafkaminas that it could have given. The Marsha quotes from Ra'im that he said that no, she says she buried him, neither Shita would say she's believed. She's definitely not believed. How could she be off bididami about burial? Meaning that's not a misassessment. I mean, that's so Marsha says, if she's convinced that he's dead, she'll report that she buried him. Even if, meaning if she believes he's dead, even if she didn't bury him, she'll claim that she buried him in order to make it clear that that he's dead to the Beis Din. So it's not that she's going to lie about his death. She, because she's convinced that he's actually dead, she's going to lie about the burial. Okay, that's why that nafkamina is not mentioned. So when the couple was fighting, we said that she's not Ne'emenis anymore. But what if an outside Eda Echad claims that the husband is dead? Is he believed? My time at Eda Echad Ne'emen. What's the reason an Eda Echad is believed anyway in these situations? That it's a Milsa David Lagloye, because the guy can come home any day, so he wouldn't lie about that. So Chanami Lamashaker. So over here also, the aid would not lie about that. Oh, Dilma. Or maybe no, the real reason we believe in Eid Echad is because we assume that the woman is not going to put her full faith in the Eid Echad. We're relying on her being careful and doing her own independent research before getting remarried. But Vahacha, given the Islay Katata, lo Daiko Mitzvah. But over here, since there's a Katata between them, she may not be Daiko Mitzvah. She may not put her own independent research in it. Meaning, if the reason we believe in Eid Echad is because we're trusting the Eid Echad and the circumstance itself, then we believe in Eid Echad when there's Ketata as well. But if the reason you believe in Eid Echad is because you're relying on her still, well then Ketata takes away her Ne'emanus. So the Gemara leaves it as a take. The Gemara doesn't know how to properly resolve this issue. We have a similar suffix in the Gemara of a couple of weeks ago about an Eid Echad B'Yavama. And we had just in yesterday's daf about an Eid Echad B'Milchama, right? If it was a Shas Milchama, we asked if an Eid Echad is believed. It's interesting though, because the Rif splits his psak. You'd imagine Eid Echad B'Yavama, Eid Echad B'Milchama, Eid Echad B'Ketata. You'd imagine that however you're going to pass, you're going to be consistent. So that's a kash. That the Rif splits his psak between those cases. By Milchama, he says Eid Echad is Ne'eman, and by Ketata, he says that it's a suffix, so you have to go to Chumra. So it sounds like it's not the same suffix, because he says it's still an open suffix by Ketata, even though by Milchama he thinks that we've already been poshate this suffix. Rabbi Yudah Amar Li'Olameina, then the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yudah says, no, she's not going to be believed. The Chum do not believe her unless she comes here with torn clothing and she's crying. And you know, and she just tells us that her husband dies as a Masich Lefirtuma, just describing the events that happened, then we're going to believe her. So Tanya, Amrlo Rav Yehuda, so the Chum said back to Rav Yehuda, Lidvar Recha, Pikachas Tinasei, Shota Lo Tinasei. According to you, if she's smart, she'll be able to get remarried. If she's a fool, she won't be able to get remarried. So, Ela Achazu, Vachazu Tinasei. So it can't be that if a woman is smart enough to know to fake it, that she's in mourning, that she'll be allowed to get remarried. And if she's not smart enough to know to fake it, then she's not going to get remarried. That can't be, that there's an intelligence test to be able to get remarried. The Karbana Eidah explains, when the Yerushalmi asked the same question on Rabbi Yehuda, that he explains that it's imagine two women that are both married to the same guy, and one is a Pikachas and one is a Shota, and they both come telling the same story that the husband is dead, but one of them comes with Begadim Keruim and she's crying and she's Misabel, and the other one comes, you know, dressed up fine and whatever. So you're going to tell one of these wives, oh, your husband is dead, and the other wife, your husband's not dead. So that's even sharper, right? Meaning it's impossible. It can't be that the husband is dead, klape one of the wives, and not klape the other wife. It is important to note that the simple reading of this Gemara is that the word shota does not mean clinically a shota. It means that if she's foolish enough to not fake it, that's what shota means over here. But if someone who's actually a shota, Pashto says she can't get divorced, she can't get married or midrabban and divorced either, right? So Daraisla, she can't even get married. Ramah writes that a shota is ne'emenes to say that her husband is dead, and the mafarshim all say it's based on this gemara, because you see that a shota is ne'emenes. So Pesachei Tshuva points out that that's not what the gemara means. The gemara is not talking about a shota. The gemara is talking about a woman who was foolish enough not to fake it. Very difficult to understand the gemara in any other way. Okay, Hidasil Beidina Rabbi Yehuda, and just to illustrate this point, there there was a woman that came to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din to claim that her husband is dead. So Armila, the Chum warned her before she went into Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din. They said, Safdi Balech, give a hesped for your husband. Kari Manech, go tear your clothing. Sashi Mazyech, let your hair be a mess as if you're in Avelus. So, and that way Rabbi Yehuda will believe you, because Rabbi Yehuda only believes people who are playing the part. So Frekta Gemara, Alfu Shikra, they taught her to lie, they taught her to be to deceive Rabbi Yehuda. So it says Gemara, Inuk Rabban Tzviu. No, they thought that the Rabbanan are correct, that she's Nemenes anyway. So Ami Tavdi Achi Kiechi Dilishrei. So they said, look, the correct psak is that you're Nemenes. Rabbi Yehuda's just not going to believe you. He's not going to follow the correct psak. He's going to follow his psak unless you go through this. So you have to do this in order to get Rabbi Yehuda to believe you. It's the Meiri brings a right from here that you're allowed to cause a chacham to make a mistake in psak, right? You're allowed to fool him if you know that his psak is incorrect and you think your psak is correct anyway. So you're allowed to fool him into giving your psak under false pretenses against his own better judgment. That is astonishing, right? That you'd be allowed to do that. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda's entitled to an opinion as well. You're allowed to fool Rabbi Yehuda into saying something. That's a little bit difficult, but that's what the Meiri claims. Okay, new Mishnah now. So this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah and brings a shita that disagrees with the previous Mishnah, where the previous Mishnah just said that an isha is nemenes, that her husband is dead. So it says, "Marbisilu lomrim lo shamanu ela b'ba min hakotzir ubos medinu kamaisa shahaya." The only time an isha is nemenes say that her husband is dead is if she came from the harvesting the fields and it was in the same medina where the husband was, and similar to the maisa shahaya, that apparently there was a maisa shahaya where a woman made such a claim, and then they went out and they found the husband's body in the field. So that's where we're going to say that Nisha is Nemenes. But if the husband had gone to Medina Siyam or something, then the Isha is not going to be Nemenes. So Amlan Beishamay, Achas Abba Min HaKotir, Achas Abba Min HaZesim, Achas Abba Min HaBatir. Beishamay says, yeah, the Maisa Shahaya that prompted this Takana to believe the woman may have been a case of harvesting wheat, but should it really be any different if they went out to cut olives or grapes? It may have been where it was Ba'os Medina, but should it really make any difference if it was in a different Medina? When the Chum gave an example of Bekatzir, it's because that was the case they were dealing with. Ultimately, Beisilo backed out and they went back to follow the Shita of the Beis Shammai, meaning Beisilo ultimately agreed to the Beis Shammai that it doesn't make a difference whether it's from a close location or a distant location, the woman is going to be believed. So the Braisa elaborates on this conversation between the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Tanya, Amar lahem Beis Shammai, the Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai said to the Beis Hillel, L'divreichem, according to what you said originally, that the woman is only going to be believed if it was exactly the same case as the Maisa Shahaya, that they were by the Ktsiras Hachitim, and that it was Ba'us Medina. So then, Ein Li, I would only know, Ein Li Ella, Ktsir Chitim, Ktsir Sa'orim Inayin, I would only know if they're harvesting wheat. And what if the husband was out harvesting barley? So now all of a sudden the woman's not going to be believed? Why in the world would that make a difference? Mainly of a kotzer, and I would only know about ktsira of grain. Botzer, if he was harvesting grapes, or mosek, or he was harvesting olives, or goder, or he was harvesting dates, or oder, he was harvesting figs. Minayin, how do I know that she'd be believed in that case as well? That if she claimed my husband went out to harvest all these other types of produce, and he never showed up, and he died while he was out there, how do I know she'd be believed in that case as well? The Maisa Shaya happened to be about Ktsiras Chitim, but the Huadin, the same would be true about everything else as well. So Beishamai says, the reason when the Rabbanan said a woman is believed, when the husband was doing the Ktsira Ba'os Medina, that's because that was the Maisa Shaya, but it would apply everywhere. Beisilah would say that there's room to be Mechalik. Ba'os Medina Deshkichi and she Mirtisa. There's more reason to believe her if she's claiming that the husband died nearby, because there are people that can travel from one place to the other, so she'll actually be afraid to tell a lie. But if it was from one Medina to another where there isn't much travel from one place to the other, then she's not going to be afraid to tell a lie. And Beishamai says there are always people that travel, no matter how far away, there's always going to be someone that, meaning, no one wants to live the rest of their life in fear that maybe that day, that one person will show up that could destroy their entire lives. So she'll still be afraid of it. Maybe it's not common to travel. It's not like nowadays where people hop on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael like it's nothing. But you don't want to live the rest of your life. She would live the rest of her life in fear that some is going to spend, you know, a year on a boat to try to get from one place to the other, and is going to come with information. So my Maisa Shaya says, we keep referring to this Maisa Shaya. What was the Maisa Shaya? So Amar Rabbi Dom Shmuel, Shilfi Ktsir Chitin Hayu. It was the end of the Zman of the harvest of the wheat. Volch Asar B'nei Adam L'Ktsar Chitin, and 10 people went out to harvest wheat. Neshach Anach Shach Men Meis, and a snake bit one of them and he died. Basi Ishto Vodil L'Beizdin, so his wife came and let the Beizdin know that the husband had died. V'sholchu So then they went and investigated, and they found that she was telling the truth. So that's when they said, that if a woman says that her husband died, then we trust her. She's allowed to get remarried. She's allowed to have yibum if they didn't have any children, the husband had a brother. So says Gemara, you know, this machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether the initial takana to believe the woman is only in cases that match precisely with the case of the Maisa Shah, we have a similar machlokas elsewhere. Neymar Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva v'Rabbanan beplukta de Beisham Beisal Kamifugi. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva and the Rabbanan have a very similar machlokas. The Tanya, because the Brisa says, Lo yisa adam mechatos ve'efer chatos v'avirin biyardim u'besvina, that a person should not carry the paraduma ashes or the water that you're going to need to mix with the paraduma ashes and bring them over the yardin on a boat, because it could be that there's a dead body on the boat and you're being metame the ashes. And don't stand on one side of the river and throw the ashes or the water to the other side of the river. And you shouldn't put them on a raft floating on the water. And you shouldn't ride them on top of an animal in the water, because that's also like a svina. Nor should you have a person carry them over the water. Unless the person is literally walking on the ground of beneath the surface of the water. But you are allowed to pass them over a bridge. A bridge is not like a boat, because you're walking with direct contact with your feet to the bridge, and it's not floating in the water. The Isser is only if they're going to float in some way. Echad Yarden v'echad Shar Naharos. And it's true of the Yarden and any other river. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva Omer Lo Amru El Yarden B'Svinu K'mes Shaya. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva says, no, the whole Isser is only by the Yarden. It's only when it's exactly a boat, not an animal, not a raft, it's got to be a boat exactly like the Maisa Shahaya. So you see that apparently there was some Maisa Shahaya that prompted the Rabbanan to make a gzera not to transport the Mechatas and the Eferchatas in a certain way, and you have Machlokas Tanoim, whether that Takana de Rabbanan was specifically with the exact precise details of the Maisa Shahaya, or it's broader than the Maisa Shahaya. So Lema Rabbanan Damer Kibbeh Shammai, the Rabbanan who hold that it's much broader, assume like the Beis Shammai, Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva, Damer Kibbeh Silla, Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva, who assumes that it's only exactly like the Maisa Shahaya, is saying like the Beis Hillel. So it says, no, Ami Lach Rabbanan Adamina Anafla Kibbeh Silla. I'm really saying even like the Beis Hillel, that they were only misaking Kamaisa Shahaya. I've got no Karmi Beis Hillel Asam. Beis Hillel is more limiting and saying that it has to match the Maisa Shaya Elimishum Demirtsa, because there was a svara over there in Beis Hillel's case. Beis Hillel's case was about whether the woman is Ne'emenes. There's a svara to believe her more if the husband was nearby than if the husband was far away. B'makom karov mirtsa, b'makom rachok lo mirtsa. But hacha mali yardin, mali shar naharos. Is there a svara to assume that there's more of a chashash of a dead body by the Yardin than by any other river? There's no svara to say such a chilek. So when there's no svara to be mechalek, of course the takana is going to be broader. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva amalach, and Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva would say, anoda amri afu Beis Shammai, that I would even argue like the shita of the Beis Shammai, that we're not that it doesn't have to match the Maisa Shaya. Ad kan lo kan Beis Shammai hasam. Beis Shammai only said that if the woman claims her husband is dead, she's believed even when it's not like the Maisa Shaya el mishum di yidaiku mitzvah, because we have a chazaka that she would never get remarried before she does her own independent research. So mali makum karav, mali makum rachok. If anyway we're relying on her independent research, research, it doesn't matter how far away the husband was. But ha-ha, but over here by the Mechatas, the purpose of the Takana was Mishum Maisa Shahaya, because of an event that happened that frightened us that all Mechatas and Eprachatas could be compromised. So Biardin Mesfina Tavim Maisa Daz Rabbanan. The event that frightened us is the cause of the Takana and therefore makes up the gather of the Takana. So it has to be by the Yardin, by Sfina. Bisharna Haras the Love of Maisa Logos Rabbanan. But any other river where the Maisa did not happen, the Rabbanan did not make such a gzeira. So says Gemara, the million-dollar question now. We keep referring to this Maisa Shahaya. So my Maisa Shahaya, we already learned what the Maisa Shahaya was with the woman claiming that her husband is dead. But what's this Maisa Shahaya with the Efer Chatas and the Mei Chatas? So Dam Ravi Dam Rav, Maisa Ba'adam Shaya Mavir Mei Chatas Efer Chatas Biyadim Misfina. There was a person that was transporting the Mechatas and the Efer Chatas over the Yarden on a boat. And there was a Kazayis Menames on the boat, in the bottom of the boat, and the Kli of Mechatas was Ma'ahil right over that Kazayis Menames and had become Tameh. So Bosa Sha'a, that frightened the Rabban. Rabban therefore made a Gzeira, Amru, Lo Yisa Adam Mechatas, Vevachatas, Vevim Biardim Besvina. From that point on, they said, you cannot carry the Mechatas and the Evachatas on a boat because we have to be Choshesh that it might become Tameh. Okay, Bez Hashem. Tomorrow I will not be giving shiur. I guess in the next taf I'll be giving in shul on Shabbos. So, okay. Aaron, I'll see you there. Right. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.